Hi, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Upper Limit Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, my best friend, Haley Reese. Hello, Hales.
Hello.
And we're going to be chatting about something really different and like different than anything that I've really ever heard. And I'm really excited. So, basically, first and foremost, Haley is a YouTuber. She posts true crime videos. So, we have a very strong bond around psychology. We always talk about it in our spare time together. And then last week when we were hanging out, we started like talking about what makes someone a good versus bad person. Because so I'm going through a little bit of like an ego death right now. I'm actually going to do a whole episode on it for you guys. But essentially, I've been struggling with like a little bit of ego death around subconsciously feeling like I'm a bad person. And obviously, because Haley's my best friend, I talked to her about everything. And when we saw each other, she was like, you know, I was doing a lot of thinking around what actually constitutes someone being a good versus bad person. And we got into it. And then we had to stop ourselves because we were like, this would make for really good content. So that's what we're going to do today. So, hello, Haley.
Hello. First and foremost, I am so excited to be on here. Much like those of you listening, I have loved listening to this and just hearing more of all the beautiful thoughts inside of Jerrica's mind. Because
Thank
as she
you.
just mentioned, her and I really, really love to dive into these conversations. And last week we were looking at each other, having this talk, and we were really diving into what it truly means to be a bad person, and not just what we think it means to be a bad person within and of ourselves, but within those around us as well. So I'm really excited to be here and to talk about this today with you.
Shall we just hop right into it then.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to remember back on how we really started this conversation. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. You
So
take the rein.
yeah, so we were kind of sitting there just talking as we do, and Jerrica was talking about, and obviously, let me know if this isn't something that you want me to share, but she was going a little bit deeper into how sometimes what society has placed on her, what people within her life and those around her have placed on her, has formed a belief that she knows deep down is not true. But in feeling like she's not the best version of herself she can be, and at times even feeling like a bad person. And she almost looked at me like, is this weird that I'm feeling this way? Like, I know I'm not, but sometimes I feel I am. And I was like, you're talking to the right person about this, because I went down a rabbit hole online going through like what we think worldwide a bad person is. And Jerrica perked up and she's like, so, like, what did you come to a conclusion with? And I'm like, well, we don't really have one. And that was where our conversation sort of began, was I think it really depends on each person's view on it. But the deeper we got spiritually and even emotionally, it was a whole rabbit hole. So do you want to kind of go from where your mind went with this initially?
Yeah, so I think the biggest example when I feel like if you could walk down the street and ask anyone, like, what do you think makes someone a bad person? They would
Right.
resort to like behaviors that people engage in. So the biggest example, murder, right?
Right.
Well, they murdered someone, so they're a bad person. They assaulted someone, so they're a bad person, XYZ. But then you started to bring up a really good point. So I would love
Right.
for you to elaborate on that for the people listening.
Absolutely. So, kind of going off of what Jericho was just saying there, we can sit down, and if we were to tally a list, there would be the obvious of, oh, if you're a murderer, you are a bad person on paper. You know, good luck getting in the beautiful gates. Like,
Yep.
that's just what we think as a society. But let's play devil's advocate here for a moment, and let's take two separate cases, just hypothetical cases of individuals facing murder charges. What if there was an individual whom someone they really loved was being brutally attacked, and they felt as though what they had to do in that moment to protect the innocence of who they loved and whatnot was worth it in that particular moment in time? And if we went through that person's background, they could have been somebody who their entire lives would give themselves for those around that they love and care for. I'm sure as a society, we'd rally together and we would want them off of that trial. We would want them
Yep.
to be set free, given the circumstances. So off of that, then murder itself, doesn't constitute being a bad person.
Exactly. Especially if you are like just another similar scenario, if you're the one being attacked and out of
Absolutely.
self-defense, something happens, right? Or what do they call it? I think it's called manslaughter. If like I'm driving down the street and someone runs across and is out of my view and like whatever,
Absolutely.
right? That's still constituted as murder, but it wasn't intentional.
Exactly. And when we talk about these things, it's very surface level for me. It's like, well, that makes sense. We can all sit here. And I think if we were raised in a way that we're able to put ourselves into other people's shoes and understand perhaps why said individual would have done that, well, I'm sure we could come to a conclusion that they deserve at least a better trial, that they deserve to be heard out a little bit more than someone who just didn't care whatsoever. But what does it really come down to when the lines are blurred and it's not so clear? And these are the types of thoughts that keep me up at night. And the more that I've talked about it with people, the more they're like, you know what? No, I think we all feel this way. And kind of outing myself here and where this all started for me was I started thinking, like, I truly, truly believe that you should be kind to everyone that you come across. That is something that I would like to believe I live on a daily basis. I would never go out and intentionally hurt somebody's feelings. But I'm
Well, your
also
tagline
human.
is literally do
Do
all things
all
with
things
kindness.
with kindness. And I live that and I stand behind that. But I'm not going to lie and sit under oath and say, my thoughts are always doing all things with kindness because they're just not, you know? And I was sitting there really thinking about this. And please let me clarify that for a moment. My thoughts are not dark, they're not twisted, they're not morbid. But there are times where I'll think things and I'm like, oh, Haley, that's really not nice to think. Like, you don't really mean that. And then I'll sit back and try to remind myself the fact that I'm even contemplating if that was a nice thought should show that the root of my thought was a nice thought. And as confusing as this sounds, I'm hoping that your listeners are kind of following what I mean by that. And I can, within a split moment, take myself back and be like, no, you're not a bad person. But it really made me start to wonder, you know, how many of us deal with this on a daily basis and feeling like maybe we aren't who we allow others to perceive us as. That's probably the best way that I think a lot of us look at it.
Yeah, and especially like for me, and again, I'm going to do a whole episode on this, guys, because I have a lot to catch you up on in terms of some events that happened in my life in the last, I
Oh,
think it was a
yes.
week. For me, I always looked at what makes you a bad person as behavior, and not necessarily in a way of like looking at those around me's behavior and then putting blame on them, like, oh, you're a bad person. Like, it was never anything like
Right.
that. It was more of like just from an internal level for myself, right?
Absolutely.
And I grew up in a very emotionally insecure environment, is what I like to call it. So, growing up, you know what? I'm just gonna outright say it. I did grow up with a what I believe to be a covert narcissistic mother.
Right.
And a trait that narcissists have is they like to shame you for a lot of
Right.
things that you do. And especially over the last week and a bit since I've been having this ego death, I've always struggled, like even my boyfriend can attest, you can probably attest too.
Yeah.
I've always just like asked people, like, am I a bad person? I was always looking at it as behavioral. Like I was like, oh, growing up, I would talk back as a normal 15-year-old girl does, and my mom would tell me I was a bad person. So I would always hear like, anytime I was told I was a bad person or it was insinuated that I was a bad person, it was always behavioral based. And so I think that for me, if somebody were to ask like what makes someone a bad person, I would immediately resort to behavior. But I think that it goes so much deeper than that. And I love how you were bringing up like thoughts, right? So it's almost like some of us think it's thought based, some of us think it's behavioral based, but it's like what really actually make someone a bad person, because we're even told in this space that like you are not your thoughts,
Right.
right?
And this is another thing that I often think about. And so for any of your viewers listening who may not be familiar with my background, I do tend to take a very like spiritual approach to my work. And with that said, obviously apply anything that I'm saying here to what you personally believe in. I've always wondered through diving into the spiritual side, though, where that line differentiates as well. Because when we look at things like religion or even just spiritually based living, you're often told that you're judged at the end, essentially based off of your good versus your bad. Did you do more good than bad, is what some believe. Others believe, did you repent your sins? It's really dependent on your particular religion that you follow. But I think even people who aren't religious or even atheists subconsciously at times throughout their lives deal with that feeling of, if there is another side, am I going to be good enough to go to it? Like, do I even want to be? My point in saying this, though, is when we look at that religious aspect of it, it becomes a little bit more confusing too, because I think so many people place even more pressure on themselves to lead and live a certain way. And if they feel as though they're not, they suddenly feel like they're this bad person. But where I'm going back to where you grew up with this is when you were constantly being told by a certain individual that XYZ constitutes a bad person, when that's their perception of a situation due to their own things, you take on that belief and live your life in that way. The same way that we do, based off what our parents tell us, what our religion tells us. And I think it's really cool to have these types of conversations and sit back and strip back the religion, strip back the upbringings, and ask, like, on a deeper level, like, what do you truly believe would make you a bad person? Because the soul searching I'm finding is, I think what truly puts you at peace with yourself, and what for me would differentiate whether I leave this earth thinking I was a good or a bad person, is ultimately like how I lay my head on the pillow at night when it comes down to not anything external. Because you could lay your head on the pillow and have these thoughts that are drilled into your head. You have to soul search so deep to finally come back to and be like, I can lay my head on the pillow, and without the external noise, I'm at peace.
I love that. So you and I discussed last week, and I guess we hadn't said it yet, but we essentially do believe that the root of it is intention. And I think what I loved what you were saying was about like people, like if someone were to insinuate you were a bad person, it would be coming from their perception of you, of the situation, of the world around them, ultimately of themselves. And I think that it really just goes to show that really everything is an illusion in terms of it's all perception based. Because if someone's saying that you're a bad person because of something that you did or something that you said, that's their perception of the situation. So why would you allow someone else's perception to dictate the way that you actually subconsciously feel about yourself?
You just triggered something inside me, as
Love
we do. I'm
that.
right where you are right now. You know where this goes on the opposite side of everything, and where it circles right on back to where you and I were sitting on that couch last week, is even on the good side, Jerrica. And this is where it goes even deeper. I can lead a life being this individual that really tries to do all things with kindness. But if my internal thoughts aren't always reflecting how I lead externally, it can cause a moral like battle within your mind of who you truly are. And my reasoning for this is, okay, what you just said there, it's all perception, right? Nothing, it's all truly an illusion. It is how we perceive it to be, same as time, everything. When we look at it like that, it's the same way that we could perceive somebody as a great person, because they've been conditioned. They know how to play the part. They know how to put on that mask. And not even if they're doing it intentionally. We've had so many conversations, Jerrica and I, where I'm a people pleaser to fault. And it is so unintentional. And it's something that I need to work through and rewire and work on. But that could be perceived as not being a genuine person. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, perception could be that someone's a good or a bad person, but what truly makes them such if the perception can be an illusion?
Well, exactly. And an example I brought up to you last week, which I'll share with the listeners, is I had texted my boyfriend's mom. So she had sent my boyfriend home with cookies, like homemade cookies, the one day. And I had texted her to say thank you, but I was trying to make a joke around how he had left them in his pocket for too long because he forgot about them and he had been sitting on them. So they were crumbled, right? And the way that I went about wording it almost made it sound like they were poor quality and they crumbled, right? But it wasn't my intention behind it. I was trying to make a joke, right? And I had used this example with Haley to try and really show that, like, our behaviors completely come from our subconscious beliefs about ourselves. So it's like,
100%.
even if consciously I know that I'm a good person, if I have a subconscious belief from past experiences that I'm a bad person, well, the way I might go about articulating things actually might come off wrong. Whereas my intention
Right.
behind it is play is nice, is playful, right? So this text, as an example, I came into this with pure intentions of just making a joke to my boyfriend's mom about
Right.
how he was sitting on the cookies. It had nothing to do with her cookies. And her response to it is what made me go, oh my God, I think I may have worded this poorly. So I like reworded it and reiterated just kind of what I was, my intention behind it, right? And then she laughed. But it really just goes to show that the way that we actually might be perceived
Yeah.
to the world through the things that we say, the things that we do, might actually just not be the true intention behind what you were trying to do. It's just coming from a place of like your subconscious beliefs. And especially if you are someone, and I know that there's so many of you out there who actually think like, am I a bad person? Like, do I do
Right.
bad things? Like, do I say bad things? Like, whatever. If you're struggling with that, just know that, like, if you, well, first of all, just like you said, Haley, if you're questioning it, you're probably not
You're
a
probably
bad
not.
person.
If you have the self-awareness, which that's a whole other subject I want to dive into before we conclude today, but if you have the self-awareness to be like, hey, maybe those things I did aren't the greatest, I should reevaluate, then I'm going to say you're on the right path. I find for me, one way that I can really sit back and say, okay, you're doing okay, is I try to give everybody grace in the sense that I kind of have accepted maybe there's no true, okay. This is my thoughts, Jericho. We haven't talked about this yet. I have a thought that perhaps there really is no good or bad people. We are simply spiritual beings having this earthly experience. We are simply people and we make good or bad decisions. And perhaps if you're an individual who continuously, time and time and time again, makes bad decisions, then by definition, you're a person making bad decisions. You're a bad person. But for me, there's also a level of that I've decided evil. There's just a certain level of individual through doing research into the true crime cases. Something we've really talked about, Jerrica and I, in our love for psychology is the idea of nature versus nurture and really what creates a killer in a situation like that. But I guess we could really explore that with good or bad people as well. And whether it would be a nature versus nurture thing, are bad people created or are bad people born? Are you bad as somebody who's just set up to make these poor decisions time and time again and then therefore be looked at as a bad
Actually,
person?
you know what? This could be a really interesting direction because I mean, you and I, we both love psychology and we're both also spiritual. So we both like to look at things from both directions. But what I do notice about our conversations is I always tend to go from a very strictly science point of view. And then you like to
Right.
flip it into something
Into
spiritual. So I would love to do that right now because when you had asked me the whole, when we had brought up the whole nature nurture thing,
Right.
I always believe that it's nurture
Right.
because I like your brain is born as like a blank slate in terms of your behaviors, right? I'm not saying in terms of like any like mental or structural damage or anything like that.
I love that we're getting into this topic. This is so juicy for me. Continue.
So we, our brains in our younger years, that's how it learns how to operate in the world, but it only learns through experiences, right? So,
Right.
and witnessing behavior. That's why, like, even the smallest things, like, you could, like, for an example, my boyfriend always says, why do you stand like that? Like, apparently I stand weird. No one's ever told me except for him, but he always says, why do you stand like that? And I
And
think back and I
apparently she
go,
runs weird too, while we're on the topic.
all right. Okay. Anyways, I don't think I'll ever have Will on the podcast because he would just love to like
Okay,
make fun of me in the most loving way.
if you do, you have to have him on the podcast with visuals because I guarantee you we're getting viral with that. It's giving viral.
For anyone listening, my boyfriend Will is the biggest goofball. Like, he
Oh, yeah.
loves to make fun of me, but it's in the most loving way. Like, I know he loves me. I know he doesn't mean what he says, but he's just a big goofball.
Will
So,
is our tattooed
anyways,
golden retriever.
exactly. So, anyways, he's asked me, like, why do you stand like that? And I think back on my childhood, my mom stands like that, right? So, it's we pick up
Interesting.
like all any every and all behaviors as children. So it's not to say that like if someone turns into a murderer, this is like
Right.
such worst case, but if someone turns into a murderer, that means their parents were a murderer. But it's like some sort of subconscious and maybe mental abuse or anything like that has started to
Right.
form the brain in a way to make certain behaviors. So I would love to hear your perspective from like a spiritual sense.
Absolutely. So, actually on my YouTube channel, I have a series on
Ooh.
twins
Okay.
specifically because twins have been really an interesting centerpiece in a lot of different studies that have been conducted as far as either nature versus nurture or even just in personalities and how individuals grow up. If you take identical twins by DNA, they are exactly clones of one another. And so you would believe that they would grow up similarly. Like, I mean, all the twins that I granted, no, I did have a couple of twins that I knew growing up that were, I'm trying to think if
You
they were
know a couple of
fraternal.
twins? That's crazy. I think
Yeah,
I've only met
I grew up with
one.
twins next door and I went to school with twins as well. And
Wow.
then I don't know if you remember this, but I was a twin as well. And my mom lost my
Right.
twin in the first trimester.
Right.
But I've looked into a lot of this, and actually there was a study done. This would be fascinating once the actual findings are released to the public for you to look into. But it was a study where they had essentially taken, this was illegal, by the way. It was done under the radar. They had taken sets of twins and triplets, and they adopted them out into different types of households. So, for
Oh.
example, they would take identical twins and place one perhaps in a lower income home, with maybe some more family struggles, a little bit more difficult of a background. And then they would take the twin and they would place them in like a wealthier neighborhood with to-do parents, and they would go in and act as though through the adoption process, essentially, they were checking in on the kids. They were taking notes on how the different kids were growing up,
Interesting.
personality-wise, how they interacted with people, to essentially see whether or not they're the same. Are they both good people? Are they both bad people? But there was a case done that would be really interesting for your viewers to look into, where there was twins who were separated at birth, but tell me how they lived identical lives. Down to marrying a woman with the same name, vacationing to the same spot every year for their family
This is
vacation,
where you have to believe in a higher power.
and they would drive the same first car. They had photos of it and
Wow.
everything. There were minor differences, but if I'm not mistaken, they even named their first kids the same name, and they became a huge study because people were like, how can you explain this, right? So, going back to your whole spiritual side of this, there is an element that I think you didn't consider in this that would make so much sense to you.
Okay.
So, you've explored the idea that we are able to essentially change within our own bodies. This is something that Jerrica is going to explore deeper, I know, but we can convince ourselves down to a cellular level of things if we truly embody this, if we truly believe it. Everything is energy. And it's even, I believe, been proven recently scientifically how much we are energy as beings. So when you look at it this way, and we talk about like nature versus nurture as well, we have to look at like, does it even go down to the pregnancy? Like when you look at certain cases, I just covered a case of a young girl named Mary Bell. She was one of the world's youngest serial killers. And by the age of 10, she'd already committed her first
Oh
murder.
my gosh.
But when we look at Mary Bell, she's a really big case in the like whole thing of how she was nurtured, because right from the beginning, her 17-year-old mother did not want her. So energetically, was that being passed within? Absolutely. To Mary, even before she debuted into the world, she's coming into a mother who right from the beginning was quoted saying, "Get this thing away from me. Get it away from me. I don't want it." Her mother was a lady of the night who was never home. Her father, whether it was biological or not, was an alcoholic who was very negligent. And she went on to kill these young boys. And well, young children in general was what she was going for, but there were two young boys specifically. And so you look at that and you're like, was she born a bad person? When we look at something like murder, or perhaps had she been adopted out, could that have been something that could have been identified younger?
I love that you brought this up because this is a solid point. Now,
Right.
so yes, energy has been scientifically proven, and essentially energy is emotion, right? That's why it's called like energy in motion type of thing. I'm sure you guys have heard of that, but energy is held within our nervous system, right? And
Right.
we can pick up on our mother's nervous system while we're in the womb. So
Absolutely.
it's partially why it's why you can really go through trauma before you're even born, because of that. And that's why I wholeheartedly believe why I hold so much fear in my nervous system. And that's been like a
Right.
really big thing for me. And it's because my mom was going through a lot of trauma while I was in the womb. And I think my
Absolutely.
nervous system picked up on that energy, and that's kind of how it formed itself. So I
Yep.
do believe that energetically, if like you're getting the like neglectful type of energy as a kid in the womb before, sorry, I shouldn't say as a kid, you're not even out of the womb yet, but as a baby in the womb, you're gonna that's gonna form as a part of your nervous system. So that's a really
Absolutely.
interesting take on it.
And I think that's where it also kind of comes back to when we talk about everything really stemming from intention. It just kind of reminded me how, for an example, my sister and I mean, there are differences between us. We do have different biological fathers as well, but we were raised in a similar environment and we both adapted to it very differently. Each of us adapted in a different way. And also, we grew up with two very different approaches to confrontational situations. My sister is a lot more assertive. She's a lot more confident in situations like that. And going back to good or bad person, my sister could throw it down with someone if she wanted to, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. She could if she wanted to, whereas I'm very non-confrontational. You would literally have to be attacking my dog for me to even contemplate throwing it down with you. Like, it's just not happening. And we're just two very different people, but it doesn't make her a bad person that she's more aggressive or XYZ. And for me, it's interesting when I have these moments of digging through, like, what would make me a bad person, right? Because for you, we look at your past and how you were made to feel, and it all makes total sense. And then I look at me and I'm like, I've never been told I was a bad person in my life. And where it came for me, that is an interesting epiphany, was from always being told I'm a good person. And I
Oh, almost like you're
realized
holding yourself to a higher standard.
it messed with my head because I'm like, but I'm not that great of a person. And I couldn't come up with the examples. So when I was having a conversation with my mom one day, I remember I was bawling my eyes out. It was after a really stupid out drinking night, wasn't in alignment with me, didn't feel good about it anymore, crying to her. And she's like, okay, so you had a night, what'd you do wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. I got two of my emotions. I didn't feel in alignment. I felt like I wasn't myself. Okay, so don't do that again. And I'm like, well, you're making that sound too easy because you're not holding me accountable for this. And it wasn't even anything bad. So I'm asking myself, where is this reflecting inside of me? And it's because I was so used to people feeling like I have to pertain this particular image of being a good person that at times it felt to me I was taking away the genuine nature of just always being a good person. Because, so actually, do you mind if I read you something that I had found when we were talking
Absolutely.
about this being a podcast episode for your
Yeah, for
listeners?
sure.
Okay, where is it? So somebody had wrote online, I wanted to see what others were talking about in this field of conversation in case there was something we could touch on that maybe the listeners would think. And one of
Oh,
the
Haley
things
came more
here,
prepared than me.
No, I just thought of this. It says, I feel like I am just pretending to be a good person. I want to be nice and not harm people in any way, but it feels like I am just trying to mimic how a good person would act. I will think something like, a good person would not do this, so I should act accordingly. Sometimes I also do nice things to be liked by others. This realization is a bitter pill to swallow, and it makes me feel disgusted with myself. I feel like my actions are therefore insincere. Another reason why I am making this post is my first reaction to some things. A good amount of times, I'll find myself jealous and hoping failure on someone, but pretty much immediately afterwards, I think, what the hell, that is so rude, feel guilty. A while ago, I also made a similar post, and a lot of people commented that I shouldn't worry because only my actions matter. But what good is a bright red apple if it's rotten on the inside?
Would you rather a latte or more confidence? Would you rather a margarita or an abundant money mindset? Would you rather a candle or less anxiety? Or would you rather a mug or inner peace? And now, what if I told you that for the price of one latte a week, you could rewire your brain and nervous system to support the success you desire? Now, I want to introduce to you the Upper Limit membership, a space for you to upgrade your mindset, lifestyle, and nervous system to support inner peace, more success, and mental wellness. Your current life experience, it doesn't matter if it's the way that you feel about yourself, your relationships, your career success, your struggles with anxiety, all of it. It's all a result of your neural circuitry, which is shaped through your past experiences. And the way that your brain and nervous system is wired determines your habitual thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, which all result in the way that you experience life. With brain rewiring tools, you can reshape your neural circuitry to support the success that you desire so that you can experience a life that brings you joy and fulfillment. And in the Upper Limit membership, we do just that. For only $9.99 a month, you gain access to weekly tools and trainings to help you rewire your brain and nervous system, access to a library of meditations, affirmation audios, EFT tapping, nervous system regulation, journal prompts, healthy habits, brain trainings, and more. A form to anonymously send in your struggles and desires to receive personalized support, a community chat to connect with other like-minded individuals, and bi-monthly live Q&A calls. It's one thing to indulge in learning how to change your life, but applying the tools to rewire your brain and body is where you will see true change. So head to the link in the show notes to join the Upper Limit membership for only $9.99 a month. So I love that it ended like this because halfway through this, I was actually thinking about this. What comes to mind for me is, so we're told, just like she said in whatever you were reading,
Yeah, it's just on Reddit.
okay, just what you were reading on Reddit, she had said that people have told her that as long as you're not acting on it,
Right.
you're not a bad person. But I'm going to bring an interesting point of view here because you know how they say if they wanted to, they would. If they wanted
Right.
to, they would. But you have some people who actually really want to, but they don't because of their own limiting beliefs that stop them from taking that action. So it's like
Sorry,
you,
I'm just thinking of the people online who were like, God, I wish I could take out that Hailey Reese, but I won't. I won't do it. I'm just thinking about it, girl.
anyway, so we're always told like if they wanted to, they would. If they wanted to, they
Right.
would. But really, I hate that statement because it's not true. There's lots of
Right.
things that everyone wants to do, but they don't because their beliefs are what stop them from taking the action.
Right.
So it's like if we're going to only hold what makes you a good versus bad person on your actions, it's not accurate enough.
See, that's a fantastic way of looking at it. And this is why there's no answer to this. And going back to the beginning where I'm like, we found nothing, guys, because we can look at it that way, like you said, and we can hold people up to the standard of their actions. But then, like you said, so let's look at someone from a financial standpoint. Okay. This is completely on the opposing side of like being a bad person, murderous. This is just an example to tie in with it. Let's say that somebody is, they have the entrepreneur dream in them. Like they are hungry for it. You sit down with them in an office and they're going to sell you that dream. but they don't have the finances to put into their career at this given point in time. So let's say they want to be a podcaster who sits down and has the great background, has the great setup, but they don't have the finances to do so. They meet another fellow podcaster on the streets. Are you going to judge them based off of their setup or what they have physically manifested in front of them, what they have purchased and went out and gotten? Or are you going to sit down and listen to the drive and passion? And at the end of the day, yes, we judge based off of what we see, which is why actions are what we decide as a society makes you a good or bad person. But when you really strip it down, you never really know what's underneath until you do that work for yourself or for others. Because you could take someone with the entire setup, someone who looks so nice, so great, so polished, and on the inside, it's not what you're seeing. Or there's the person with this drive, this passion, this dream that if you just put the mic in front of them, they got it, baby, they're going. But that's where it really comes down to it. So I think we have to ask ourselves, like, what do we determine makes us a good or bad person? And it has to just kind of go off of that, I guess, right? Like somebody made a really great point here in response to what we just read. And it said, if you take a dog to a park and another dog has a ball he wants, he will likely take the ball and run away. If you walk into said park with a pizza and you put the pizza in front of the dog, he'll likely eat your pizza. He's not a bad dog. He's a good dog. He's trying to do what makes him happy, but he isn't able to comprehend the concept that what he does to make him happy might make someone else unhappy because he is a dog. You are not a dog. You are a human. And you may think to yourself, I want to have something. I want to do something. But then you think, no, that wouldn't be right. So you don't act on it. Having impulses doesn't make you bad. Acting on them does. So
Oh,
then it
but
takes me back to like,
yeah.
it's so hard to really understand then.
But here's the thing, and this is what you had brought up to me earlier, is the whole concept of manipulation. Because you could have somebody who's very manipulative and they could be manipulating the people around them into thinking that they're doing all these really good things. So something that I've struggled with having what I believe to be a narcissistic mother. Again, I say I believe because it's, as far as I'm concerned, it hasn't been diagnosed, but I've had a lot of people around me. Haley's like laughing right now. I've had a lot of people around me tell me that they believe that my mom is a narcissist. So that's where I'm getting that from. I also wholeheartedly resonate with everything I read online. But something that I grew up happening to me with my mom was she would like gift me something and then take it back when she wanted to. So it was like it comes down like someone who's manipulative, they could be doing things in a way that's manipulating someone, but the other person might not know. So then society around them views them as a really good person because they're doing all these good things. But the intention behind it is actually not honest, not sincere, not authentic, right? So
And
it
this
comes
is where
back to the beginning where we talked about is that your intention?
See, and this is where it goes even deeper, Jerrica, because let's look at it from a standpoint of you and I in what you were just referencing. There was one particular instance where Jerrica was telling me that she was getting a certain item from her mom. And I could just see that she wasn't as excited as she should be for how incredible this item was. Like in my head, I'm like, how are you not more excited? If I didn't know you, I would have judged you thinking that you were almost ungrateful for the gift, which is how somebody of this nature, if that is what they were doing, hypothetically, they would spin it. Whereas you expressed to me afterwards, like, no, it's going to come with a cost. Like you're going to see. And you're like, and I even hate to admit this out loud, but like it's going to come with a cost. And I'm
And it
like,
did.
surely no. And it really truly did it. A few weeks later, it was being held over your head and it took away the beauty of that moment for you. But it's all perception in that situation because we could look at it as, oh, they are such a great person for always gifting you these nice things. And on the outside, oh, look at Jerrica doesn't seem so happy about it. Oh, but the reality is so much deeper than that, right? And that's where I think it stems back to, again, our thoughts. Because when you look at it from the spiritual standpoint, For me, I grew up in a Catholic household, but I was baptized Christian. And I was always taught that, like, you're one with spirit, you're one with the Holy Spirit, you're one with God, that God knows your heart. He sees your heart, he sees your soul, he sees your mind, he sees your thoughts, he knows your deepest desires, he knows your deepest worries, XYZ. Well, then where does that line draw there, then, I guess? Is that, am I being judged by that in action or in thoughts? Because if we're talking about leading a life of integrity spiritually, right? And I'm just diving into this for those who may be listening, who may be confused where religion falls into that. It's very confusing, and I think that that's where it pushes a lot of people into depressive thoughts because they never feel like they're going to be good enough. Because when you start thinking about or learning about what people think it means to be a good person, well, I'm sorry, there's times where we're all not great people then. Because we've all passed judgment. You're not human if you haven't passed judgment. We've all at some point thrown the stone first. Like, something I really needed to work on was being reactive. Like, we all have our faults. And one more thing I wanted to ask you while my brain is going here, and I would love to know any of Jerrica's viewers who have an answer to this that you think is one that we'd love to hear. Please, please, please DM Jerrica because I need to know. Even so, when you're diving into it from the spiritual aspect, even if you're from an outsider looking in who doesn't particularly believe in those types of things, when it comes down to the concept of being a good or a bad person, and we also dive into that we are created perfectly. We were created within, and I truly believe we're all here with purpose, and there is choice and free will, and that's where good and bad decisions come in. But where I really question on the deep side of like spirituality with good versus bad people, and this is where I would love to know what others think of this, is when it comes down to being born the way that we are meant to, there are some individuals who have gone on to commit heinous crimes. We are talking like things that are unimaginable. And we find out later that they have, I wouldn't even say sociopathic diagnosis. Like, we're talking individuals who don't have the sometimes even cognitive ability to process good versus bad, to understand, and they have this dark, sinister side to them, perhaps due to circumstances. How could they have been born perfectly, but bad individuals if that's all they've known and they can't process differently?
That is such a good question, and I don't even know how to answer it, but the only thing that comes to mind for me is that, I mean, I believe wholeheartedly that we have our own soul paths. And I know that
Absolutely.
some people don't like to hear that.
I think people think it's a cop out. And I can understand them thinking that. It's like, oh, well, that's our spiritual journey. Like, I mean, it is. And that's the only conclusion that I could come to. And in saying that, it kind of ties me back to where my conclusion kind of landed on what would make me a good versus bad person. And that is, like you said, we're all on our own soul's journey. We all have our things to work through. That's what we truly believe, or I could speak for myself anyway. That's what I truly believe, is that we're all on our own soul's journey, and we all have our challenges we're going to face, and we have our qualities about us that we got to work through, and the things about us that make us really great. But I think that when it comes down to people like that, perhaps I have to believe, and maybe if this is just to ease my mind in this world, then maybe that's all it's for. But I have to believe that there's a greater purpose for individuals like that to help evolve others in these conversations of good versus evil, what makes an evil person. We have to remember that, like, one's journey, my journey, your journey, listening to this, is not defined just off of what we do within our lives, but in what we do and how it affects those around us, the butterfly effect of how the world goes around. And so I think, unfortunately, there always has to be good and evil, light versus dark, yin and yang. It's a balance in the world. But for me, I'm learning to just get rid of that pressure to be perceived as a good person and just be totally at peace with the fact that I am.
So you segued right into what I was gonna say, which I
Really?
love.
Because we're on the same brainwaves.
Yeah, same brainwave. Okay, so back to intention, right? We really
Right.
think that, back to the example I gave around the text that I sent Will's mom, I may have not articulated it in the best way, but my intention was
Right.
pure, right? And this is where I think a lot of our self-worth comes in, because we start
Yes.
tying our worth to external things in terms of like the way people perceive us, the way we articulated something,
Right.
actions we took or actions we didn't take, thoughts we have, whatever. But when people say self-worth comes from within, this is where I believe it really stems from, is your intention.
Right.
Because yes, maybe I articulated something in a weird way and the other person perceived it not in the way that I meant it to, but my intention behind it was good, was
Right.
total lighthearted. But if I'm going to tie my self-worth into external things, well, then I would be like, well, now I am a bad person. I'm not a good person because that
Right.
person didn't perceive it the right way. But really, what you should be doing is in this specific example, you should be saying, no, I am a good person because my intention was to just was lighthearted. I was just making a joke, but I just worded it weirdly, right? So I think that just to kind of, because I know a lot of my listeners are self-love lovers, they want to learn about
Absolutely.
self-love, to kind of tie this into like that in a sense. Your
Absolutely.
self-worth should really be coming it back to your intention behind things, not in the way that the world is perceiving you.
Absolutely. And then that's where it comes down to really wanting to be the great person that you want to see in the world for yourself. Like
Yes.
for me, where, okay, so this is so interesting. For those of you who have absolutely no idea who I am or the journey that I've been on, the past couple of years for me have been so transformative. And at times I was literally like fists in the air, like, why am I learning all these things? Why am I having to face this? But self-love for me was something that I really had to confront because I gave so much love to everybody else that I was neglecting my love for myself. And it's really interesting that you're circling it back to this because I'm having this epiphany now of it was really through rediscovering my self-love for myself that I started having those conversations of, am I a good or a bad person? Because I wanted to know and love all the parts of me. And Jerrica and I have been doing a lot of talk about even like shadow work, and that's a whole other topic of conversation. But I've been really trying to not even suppress those darker parts of myself in fear of being a bad person. Because I think for so long that has been, and like, feel free to speak on it, Jerrica. I know you're so protective of me and my heart because you are my best friend, but she's had so many incredible conversations with me about how she just wishes I could love and see myself the way that she and others would see me. And she would say, like, it would frustrate me to see you beating yourself up over things that are so differently perceived by everybody else. And it's so interesting that you say that because even going back to the example that I was using with the listeners on me crying to my mom, being like, that was not me, I was not in alignment. When I would have conversations with you after a night like that, you're like, see, but that's really funny because everybody else thought that that was a really funny, fun night and nobody saw that but you. And so it comes back to my internal view of myself and how I'm perceiving my reality based off of my internal thought process.
This is fantastic because I'm gonna relate this back to, again, the text with Will's mom. And I just keep coming back to this because it's a perfect example.
Absolutely.
She actually may have not perceived it in the way that I'm thinking she perceived it. But because I have that subconscious fear that I am a bad person, I'm now going to perceive my external world in that way. So maybe I'm now perceiving her text as
Yes.
her perceiving mine as not the way I intended it to, right? So it just, everything is perception.
It really is. And I saw a TikTok actually not too long ago, and I was like, call me out again, TikTok. Like, the algorithm is algorithm today. But it was essentially saying how we make, so Sarah, my cousin, she's really big into self-love as well. And one of the things that she kept telling me at the beginning of like my journey in reawakening and finding myself again, she kept telling me, like, stop telling yourself these stories, Haley. You're making up stories. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm making up stories? And she would tell me, And believe me, this circles back to the good versus bad thing, but she would say, like, you get so embarrassed and embarrassment doesn't exist. She's like,
Oh.
because listen to this. This blew my mind. She goes, because she goes, okay, so what were you so embarrassed about? And I start telling her. And she's like, ooh, well, that kind of sounds like a you thing. She says, it sounds like you're embarrassed of the story that you've told yourself of how they have perceived you and what you did. She's like, you don't even know how they viewed what you just did, right? Like, so I'm creating a story, I'm creating a false narrative as to how others are viewing me. And then I saw that TikTok saying, it's not that I think that you don't like me. It's that there are certain things that I think you wouldn't like about me. So now I'm making up a story that you don't like this about me. And so
Absolutely.
it's one of those things where we go out in public and it could be the same type of thing. Like, oh, I said this thing to Will's mom. She must think that I'm this bad person. She thinks I don't appreciate her cookies, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, for all you know, she's in her kitchen looking at it, giggling, like, oh, so Jericho and Will. And you have now lost potentially hours of your day sitting there asking yourself, oh, did she get the joke? When meanwhile, it's a whole story you've made up in your head. You've made up how she's perceiving you.
Well, and something that I've recently talked about with a couple of my clients is the whole concept of belief perpetuation. So
Absolutely.
if to use like your example, if you're going into a situation already feeling a certain way about yourself subconsciously, and you are, let's say you go to speak a certain sentence or whatever, but now you're perceiving it as you just embarrassed yourself because of what you said, because you have that internal belief and your brain wants literally nothing more to do than to perpetuate the same belief because that's what's safe to it. It wants to make sure it's safe. It's going to now overanalyze everyone's facial expressions, everyone's tone of voice, and try and find. It's literally nitpicking ways to prove that belief as correct, which again
And you'll
comes
find
back to
it.
perception. Exactly. You will find it because your brain is designed to answer its own questions. So if you're literally
Absolutely.
thinking to yourself, did I just embarrass myself? It's going to literally look at everyone's facial expression. And if someone blinks the wrong way, it's going to go, yep, I just embarrassed myself.
Absolutely. Or if someone even looks at you the wrong way, oh yeah, they hated my hair too. I look horrible, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're making up all of these different stories surrounding yourself and your life. And that's where you start to embody these characteristics that you may not like. So if I perhaps saw something in myself that I'm like, hey, yeah, so and so's right. I really do have a tendency to people please. And does that make me fake? Does that make me a bad person? And I start embodying that belief and subconsciously pushing myself into society as said belief without even realizing it, I'm becoming that belief because I'm allowing myself to embody it. So if you believe and you tell yourself enough that you're a bad person, eventually you will become or at least portray yourself as a bad person. So I have a really interesting example that just came to mind. And I'm going to keep them anonymous just for the sake of maybe they didn't want people knowing the story, but someone close to me throughout school really struggled because they were dyslexic and it was undiagnosed. This was back before dyslexia was really something that they looked for in young students. And so he was deemed stupid, essentially, and they kept holding him back and holding him back. Simultaneously, he was a very, very good-looking guy. Now, because everybody kept making him feel stupid because he was being held back when actually, we'll get there in a second, actually, but they kept making him feel stupid because he was being held back. Subconsciously, he was faced with two separate decisions in his mind, or not even subconsciously. He felt as though his only two options that he was faced with was figure out why I'm dumb. That was his perception of it. Figure out why I'm dumb, or just accept that I'm dumb and be the cool dumb guy. And so what did he do? He embraced being the cool dumb guy. And so his entire perception of himself was that he was actually just dumb and he became the good-looking guy who didn't try in school. So now instead of actually working with people to find out what was wrong and realizing that he had a genius level IQ, which
I have a big take on this.
they would discover years later that he had a genius IQ. But unfortunately, because of his dyslexia and because of the lack of diagnosis in it and going through like how he could learn differently, he embodied being dumb.
Yep.
And for years, he was that guy who didn't care about school,
Yep.
and pretended that he just didn't care about it whatsoever. How many of us do that to ourselves in so many avenues of our lives because we're scared to
Yep.
challenge why we're stuck in a stagnant place or
Yep.
why we're perpetuating these beliefs on those around us, right? I think what makes us the best version of ourselves as a human being is to challenge ourselves and be like,
Yes.
hey, I don't like that I people please and that I say what I think someone wants to hear, but maybe why do I do that? And for me,
Yeah.
it's going back to my childhood. I wanted to be the best I could be. I wanted
Yep.
to make everyone like me.
Yep.
And not in a fake way, in a way of like just wanting to make everyone proud.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear your views on this because you are one of the people in my life who has really challenged this side of me. And I appreciate it so much. For those listening, Jerrica and I are so the same, but we're also so different
Yep.
in certain ways of how we handle things. Like Jerrica can overthink things like me at times, but she is very good at communicating with her words how she perceives a situation. And even if you don't overthink it as much as I do, as far as how it's going to make someone feel, because you know that you were kind in it and you know that you've said your truth, and that
Yep.
is what it is, right? And that's something that I so need to work on. And so she's always in my corner, like, come on, Haley. But where I'm curious to hear is we can look at it from the standpoint of, am I a bad person, like viewing myself, am I a bad person for saying the truth to somebody that maybe they need to hear, but maybe it hurt them? Or am I a worse off person for withholding that truth? And then that person doesn't get that truth from me, but their feelings aren't hurt. What is it that spiritually you're supposed to do? Like that's the moral compass of life. Like, where do you draw the line of like what's good or bad? Like,
So
what's the right thing to do? We don't know.
my opinion on what you had just said too is almost like, and again, I'm not saying this is correct, but what comes to mind for me in your specific example is like I almost want to look at this situation from a point of view of like, in a spiritual sense, like every single interaction you have is meant to make you grow. So it's
Yeah.
almost like reaching out to that person if you said it in a kind manner and not in a way to actually hurt them, but your intention was to stick up for
Yeah.
yourself and you were showing up for yourself in that situation and letting them know that you didn't appreciate the way that they handled something or what they said or what they did, whatever. I think that that could be a learning lesson for them. Even if in the moment they're like, that hurt my feelings, but the way that you articulated it and the way that like your intention behind it was just pure and like you were nice about it. I think it would be like, well, this just again comes back to like spirituality and like we're meant to cross paths with people to learn lessons and all of that. And it's
Yeah.
like maybe your words and your ability to stand up for yourself in a kind manner was actually their learning lesson in a behavior that maybe they need to work on subconsciously.
Absolutely. And I think that's where, like, we could spend our entire lives trying to figure everything out. And it's one of
Yep.
those things that, like, we'll just have to see when it's all said and done how everything kind of tallies up and, like, how it all works itself out. Because I find you see it a lot. When you know what, this is a fantastic example. I believe it was in, I think it was on Taylor Swift's new album. There was a specific line talking about how, like, we're basically all the heroes if we're painted in the right light, like in the right lighting. I can't remember exactly where I heard that recently, but when you watch a movie that's following multiple characters, and you'll fall in love with all of their different storylines, and you'll even sometimes find yourself falling in love with the villain because you see their villain origin story and you suddenly understand them. And I've been trying to go through life with the lens of understanding that we're all the villains and we're all the heroes in somebody's story, and that we're all the good guy and we're all the bad guy in somebody's story. And I think what really differentiates what makes you a good person or a bad person at the end of the day, if you have the ability to process these emotions and you can truly comprehend good versus bad psychologically, I really believe it comes down to what you do about it. Right? Like, if I have good intentions in something and I hurt you, and I hear how I hurt you, and I don't really hear it or feel it, then I'm going to keep being thrown these lessons. And eventually, if I keep making those poor decisions, it's going to start becoming my character. But I don't think it defines who you are as a person
Well, it's
unless you're
also,
truly evil.
yeah, and it's also kind of an interesting perspective from the lens of like everything's an illusion because really, like, reality only lives in the present moment. So
Right.
it's like, yeah, you made a past mistake. Maybe what you did in the past made you believe that actually you were a bad person and maybe you weren't the kindest to someone, whatever it is. But what are you doing about it in the moment? Because
Right.
in like reality is only in the moment, right? It's not in the future. It's not who you could be. It's not who you were. It's who you are in the moment. So are you actively choosing in the moment right now to do better than something that you maybe
Right.
did that you weren't proud of, right?
I really do believe that people can change. I truly believe that to my core. And from a psychological standpoint and a psychology standpoint, there's a lot more to that. And it's a lot more complex than simply that everybody can change. There's a lot of things that factor into what makes somebody the individual that they are. But I think, like, the concept of nobody can change, people don't change, people change all the time. And if you're listening and maybe you tuned into this episode kind of wondering whether or not you're a good or bad person based off of things that define you in your past, you really can only, like Jerica said, you can only look at who you are now and who you're going to be going forward. And luckily for most of us, we have not done unimaginable, unthinkable, horrific things that we have to bounce back from. But there's always a chance at redemption. I really believe that no matter where you are in life, there's always a chance at redemption. And it's so interesting how we can learn, especially through like your podcast and people who are studying the way that our brains work and how we can tie it into spirituality and how we can take a thought of, hey, am I a bad person? And shift it into, how can I be a better person? Like, what does this thought say about me? I realized so much of me when I would go out and like go for drinks with people and have fun and then spiral afterwards and think I was this bad person. It was because that was a vibration that was not in alignment with my highest frequency for me personally. And so that thought of being a bad person was reflecting of, I'm not being my highest self. And that's how that was coming through to me on an emotional level.
Yeah, that's a
So if you're
really
feeling
cool
like you're a
perspective.
bad person or you're a bad partner, or maybe you're feeling like you're a bad parent right now, I guarantee you're probably not. But if you feel like you are, ask yourself where that's coming from and why. Because it's probably a reflection of something within you.
Yeah, absolutely. So to wrap this up, what would we say is our conclusion of what makes someone a good versus a bad person?
My conclusion on what makes someone a good or a bad person, I think at the end of the day, no matter where you come from, no matter what you believe in on a spiritual level, if you walk through life owning your truth with self-awareness as
Yes,
well,
that is a big key with self-awareness.
with self-awareness, you cannot simply walk around and be like, this is my truth and the world needs to accept it and I don't care like what you feel about it or how it makes you feel. You have to be self-aware enough to know how your actions are going to affect those around you and the world that you want to be living in. But if you're able to live your truth in an honest, authentic life with self-awareness and with empathy at the center of it all and understanding for those around you, I think that that constitutes enough of a good person. I don't believe that any of us are good or bad people. I don't think that there's some line that if we all lined up, we're going to be divided into because I don't think it's that black and white. But I do believe that if you lead with just all things good, you really can't go wrong with that.
And I think too, so my take on my conclusion is pretty much the exact same as yours. And I want to add in the word intention again, because I know that that was a really big thing that kept coming up for us is like, if you're walking around and you say something or do something, and it maybe the person you're with perceived it differently, but your pure intention, again, coming from a place of self-awareness, your pure intention was to was for it to be lighthearted or however you want to word it, then you can tie that to your own inner self-worth of you were not being a bad person.
Absolutely.
And I think too, we again, just to reiterate what I'd said earlier, like we can't place our worth on whether we're a good or bad person versus on other people's perceptions, because they're only perceiving things through the lens of their own internal world.
And I mean, from a spiritual standpoint as well, to conclude on, for those of you who resonate with that, intention is a incredibly powerful frequency. It is the
Yes.
supporting intention behind every single thought is what you're manifesting into yours and the reality of others. Intention is everything. It is such a powerful energy. And it comes down to when you're trying to manifest, for an example, it's not the thought itself, it's the intention and the feeling and
Yes.
the emotion behind the thought. We are vibrational beings. We are energy. That is proven. And so I think if you really wanted to lead a life of being a really, really good person, it would be leading with good intentions for everybody.
Yes.
Because when we go down to spirituality of evil eye, for an example, a lot of evil eye is unintentional. Evil eye is rooted a lot of times from jealousy. And so if I'm looking at someone on the street and I see them in a car with all the things that I want, and without even realizing intentionally, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous, I'm so angry. That's the energy that I'm giving towards people. Be a light in the world. Be excited for other people because you know that it's coming back for you too. That there's enough abundance for everybody, enough wins for everybody, that you can lead with good intentions for yourself and
Absolutely.
others.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you, Miss Haley, for coming
Thank
on to the
you.
Upper Limit podcast. I will have you on again to do a little friendship episode. On one of my past episodes, somebody had commented saying that they would love a friendship episode, and I feel like there's no better person to do a friendship episode with than my
Oh.
best friend.
I also think that you and I have had some of the most real ups and downs in our personal lives and our friendship during the years that we've been friends, that we can really
Yes.
offer a lot of, I believe, to be valuable insight on what it means to really have a best friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you again for
Thank you
coming
for
on,
having
Haley.
me.
Of
This is so much
course.
fun. I feel like we could talk for hours.
Oh,
So,
yeah. It's literally been like over an hour and a half, and I'm like, we could have kept going for like another hour.
thank you for having me, Jerrica. And to all of the listeners, thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed hearing our talks because this is just who we are. So, it's an honor to be here on your podcast, Jerrica.
Thank
And for
you.
anybody who's listening from me, make sure to keep tuning in because this woman is a force to be
Oh.
reckoned with. And it's really, really, really valuable information she's sharing.
Oh, I love you. And make
Love
sure to
you.
go, if you are coming from me and you want to check Haley out, she talks all about true crime and paranormal stuff
Yes.
as well, but she's really leaning into true crime, which I love. So I will leave Haley's links below, her YouTube and her Instagram. And thank you for tuning in. Make sure to comment down below if you're on Spotify, any insight, questions you have for today's episode, and I will catch you guys next Wednesday.